and amen. Let me start tonight, for my portion at least, and then Lynette's going to jump in here. We're going to go back and forth. In 3 John, the very first part of 3 John, verse number 2, "Beloved, I wish," and some translations say, "I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health." Say that with me, prosper and be in health. Notice it said, "even as your soul prospers." So there is a direct correlation between the way you think and the way you live. If my thinking is messed up, then my life sometimes will get messed up. I've been reading a book off and on over the last little while by Joseph Prince called Right and Wrong Thinking. It's Right and Wrong Believing. And what he talks about in there is how important it is to make sure you think in line with God's Word. And so in teaching this lesson that we started on Sunday about the hindrances to receiving the blessing, the number one thing that we talked about was the lack of knowledge of God's Word. If you use the word ignorance, people get offended, you know, but we're all ignorant of something. There's nobody knows everything. But Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So the key to prospering and being in health is that your soul prospers. And your soul is not your spirit. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. It's that side of your life, the intellectual, mental side of life, the emotional side of life. Because we've talked about it many times. You know, faith is a spiritual force. Say that with me. Faith is a spiritual force. And fear is really not the opposite of faith. It's not even the reciprocal of faith. What fear is faith corrupted. It's faith contaminated. And so the evidence that the enemy will try to throw in our pathway that would try to create fear in our lives, that will attract his plan to our life, just like faith will attract God's will to our life. So this scripture says, John writing to his children, he said, I wish or I pray above everything else that you may prosper and that you may be in health even as your soul prospers. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy, say no greater joy, than to hear that my children walk in truth. When I read that, I thought about how the Apostle Paul, the different churches that he founded, and I was reminded of something that I spoke on many, many years ago in the scripture that I used. Matter of fact, I found the CD and I was listening to it again this week. The scripture I used to preface those series of messages along these same lines was in Galatians 5, chapter 5, verse 7. Paul wrote to the church there and he said, "You were running well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He said, you were running a good race at one time. Now you see what was happening in the Galatian church was this. They had accepted Christ as their Savior. How many are glad you've done that? But then there was a group of people that came in and said, that's fine, but they called them Judaizers. And what they were saying was, it's fine for you to accept Christ as your Messiah, but you still have to keep the law. You still have to be circumcised. You still have to obey the Sabbath, et cetera, et cetera. And Paul called that another gospel, which is not even a gospel. And he said, this is the gospel of works. This is the old law where you had to do everything right to get God to love you. And you know how many Christians are still trying to get God to love them? Amen. Still trying to convince God to love them. And he already does. Amen. And by the same token, a lot of Christians are still trying to get God to do what his word says he's already done. And I grant you that it takes a little while to make that adjustment. Lynn and I've talked about it many times. We are so used to saying, well, we're praying and we're believing that God is going to do something. When the truth of the matter is, we've talked about it, he's already done it. And real faith begins where the will of God is known. So once we know that he wants us to prosper, we should never, ever again, ever ask a prayer and pray a prayer with this phrase, this faith-killing phrase, "if it be thy will." Well, didn't Jesus pray that way? Somebody said, one time. And the only time he prayed it was when he was consecrating himself to his Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. You never ever pray a prayer to change something with the phrase, "if it be thy will." We said on Sunday morning, for instance, and some folks have taken me up on this, they've taken their assignment home and started working on it. If you're standing for healing, for instance, if you need healing in your body, you need to find every scripture. We need to search the scriptures. Jesus said it's the scriptures that you'll find eternal life. So we search the scriptures for whatever it is we're standing for. And the Bible is full of scriptural, not just promises, but statements of fact. Yes. For instance, he was wounded for our transgressions. Yes. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we were healed. So Jesus doesn't have to do anything about our healing. He's already done it. Just like he's already done everything he needed to do about our forgiveness of sin. When my wife taught on the healing package in Africa, and when she taught it here one Christmas season, she brought those packages out. Talk to them about those packages again that you used to talk about.
I've always said that we had a threefold problem. God knew that. Spirit, soul, and body. And he had a threefold answer. And so when the redemption plan was put into motion, his plan was that we would be free from spiritual death. Mm-hmm. We would have a way of escape. We would have a Savior. And he took stripes upon his back for our healing. He wanted us well physically, mm-hmm, in our body. He wanted us well spirit, soul, and body. He also made a way for us to prosper. That scripture he just read said, "Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper, mm-hmm, and be in health, mm-hmm, as your soul prospers." It's an entire package. Mm-hmm. He wants you well. You've heard me say it when I've prayed for you around here. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. He wants you whole in every area of your life. Mm-hmm. Not just forgiveness of sins. And that's the most important thing.
Right.
But he didn't separate them. Mm-mm. He did it all at one time. It was a gift. Mm-hmm. And the gift was for forgiveness of sins, for healing of the body, for peace in your mind, for
prosperity
in every area of your life. So the beginning scripture that he taught on Sunday was, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." And I had this thought, imperfect knowledge gets imperfect results.
That's right.
That's why we say around here, it's life or death,
right,
where you go to church. Mm-hmm. Because if you have incorrect knowledge, then you act on incorrect knowledge, mm-hmm, and you don't get a good result. Mm-hmm. It's like saying 2 plus 3 is 8. It isn't.
It isn't.
2 plus 3 in correct knowledge is what?
5.
It will never be 8. Mm-hmm. But if you told a computer that 2 plus 3 is 8, mm-hmm, then it would have to adjust its facts to the fact that 2 plus 3 is 8, mm-hmm, and it would get incorrect results.
Right.
If you had to use that in balancing your checkbook, you'd have a mess, wouldn't you? So
sure
we want you to have correct knowledge. Mm-hmm. Good knowledge. Mm-hmm. I saw this somewhere. It said knowledge is facts and wisdom is understanding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I really like that. Mm-hmm. Knowledge is a fact. Mm-hmm. When to have knowledge of what God's word says, then I take that as a fact.
Right.
When he said he went to the cross for my sins and my diseases, that is a fact.
Right.
It's a proven historical fact, mm-hmm, that it happened. Mm-hmm. It is. So that knowledge is fact.
Right.
My part is to believe the fact. Mm-hmm. And I choose to believe that. I saw this scripture. Honey, you didn't have it in your notes. And I really like this. In the New King James, in Psalms 32:8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Mm-hmm. I will guide you with my eye.
Yeah.
I really like that. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Well, how is he going to do that? By Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and his word. Mm-hmm. And he said, I will guide you with my eye. Mm-hmm. What does that say to you? It says to me that he's always watching out for me. He's always, his eye is always on me. It's his desire to instruct me. And so I looked up these phrases, and the one it says, I will instruct you, that word in the Greek is a tutor. It stands for somebody who you will go to be tutored. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's happening here tonight. Mm-hmm. Pastor and I are your tutors. Mm-hmm. We are instructing you in what his word says. Mm-hmm. Now, if we instruct you on something outside of this word, you're not required to swallow it. But as long as what we are telling you lines up with the word of God, then that is good knowledge and good instruction and good information. All right. So let's go to teach you in the way you should go. That particular phrase means like taking a bow and arrow and shooting that arrow at a target in such a way that you cannot miss the mark. I happen to think of children at a bowling alley. Uh-huh. Have you ever seen how they put those little bumpers now in the gutters?
So you don't go in the gutter.
So that when a child rolls the ball, it can't go off the path. That's what this means mm-hmm. when it says, I will teach you in the way you should go. Mm-hmm. And so that you won't miss the mark. Mm-hmm. It says, this word is an assurance that you will not drift aimlessly through life, but that he will give you definite direction and a clear goal. Mm. I like that. And then third, where it says, I will guide you with my eye. That means I will keep my eye upon you to see how you're doing. Hmm. Well, see, I like that because that means he's not going to just instruct me and leave me alone. Mm-hmm. He's going to watch me. Mm-hmm. He's going to nurture me mm-hmm. and watch over me so that he can see our progress and see how we're doing. So then Dick Mills mm-hmm. paraphrased it this way. Mm-hmm. He says, I will make you skillful and proficient in decision making and will aim you in the right direction. I will watch your progress and see how you are getting along. My eye will be upon you for your benefit.
Amen.
That is skillful instruction.
Amen. You made me think of two things. Charlie Brown was shooting at a target. But what he would do is he'd shoot the arrow first, then paint the bullseye around the arrow. And I think that's a lot of times what Christian folks do. They try something and they say, well, you know, that wasn't right on, but I'm going to try to make it right on. Instead of trying, and actually what, this is terrible, but what sin really means is to miss the mark. And then I had another thought when she was talking about that. When you're teaching a child to ride a bicycle, you know, the first thing you do is you put those training wheels on. And, of course, the kid, particularly if it's a boy, I don't need those training wheels. But he does need those training wheels. He's not, or she's not able yet. And then eventually, you know, they get to the point where they want to take the training wheels off. But even then, mom or dad wants to go along behind and hold on to that seat.
Yeah.
You've all run behind them, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, and then, of course, they're looking at you wanting to be free, wanting uh-huh. to be let go. And they don't real. They think you're hindering them. They think you're holding them back, when actually what you're doing is keeping them from hurting themselves.
Right.
And, you know, when we get to heaven, we're probably going to find a lot of times that God was instructing us and we didn't even know it.
Yeah.
He was teaching us. I mean, it's easy now. I've said this many times. I can look back over our lives, and we've talked about it, and we can see where God was leading us. We didn't understand how He was leading at the time, but when you look back on it now, you can see, man, God was really looking out for us. We were coming back from Berlin Tuesday night. I took her out for Valentine's dinner, and on the way back, isn't that sweet? And on the way back, we were coming by that famous intersection at 50 and 610 where that car pulled out in front of the Davis family bus one night. And you've heard me tell the story. They just pulled right across the road in front of us and then stopped. And if they'd have gone on, Larry, we wouldn't have hit them or anything, but they just panicked and stopped. And there they were right in the middle of the highway. And you don't stop a 13-ton bus or an 18-wheeler with 80,000 pounds, particularly with vegetable oil on it. You don't stop that thing on a dime. So the only thing Bob could do was swerve to keep from hitting them. And he swerved off to the traveled portion into the crossover area, and I could see we were going right for this stand of trees. And it's deep there. And so when we coming back there last night, I said, well, there's that stand of little trees. Because my thought, I'm standing there, Ruth's sitting here in the front seat, Bob's driving. I'm standing there thinking, great man of faith and power that I am. Well, they're just little trees. We may survive this, you know. And it probably would have been, probably would have killed all three of us, you know. But I believe to this day the angel of the Lord, our angels that were dispatched to watch over us, supernaturally kept us from turning over and going into those trees. Being a state trooper, I went back the next day and was looking at the road. I wanted to see where the dirt was disturbed and the skid marks were. And there wasn't any evidence that anything had happened. The Bible said underneath it are the everlasting arms. So, you know, she's talking about that, and I was thinking, I was reading today in Proverbs 2, and Proverbs, you know, is wisdom for daily living. Billy Graham used to say, the Psalms will teach you how to relate to God, and the Proverbs will tell you how to relate to man, how to live successfully on the earth. It's wisdom for living. I like what he said in chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners can entice thee, consent thou not. How many know that's good advice? Amen. See, if your mind is bent towards doing right, most people know what's right. You know that? Really, you don't have to tell most people what's right. Even folks who don't know the Bible sometimes, if they do something wrong, there's an inward, some people call it their conscience. You know, I believe it's a voice of the Holy Spirit, and which is your conscience, basically, anyhow. And the more you know God, the more it's enlightened by the Word. Most people know what's right. They know what's right. They know what to do what's right. But the capacity to do it, see, that's the second part of this message that we're dealing with about hindrances. Once you know what God wants you to do, the second part is to do it. And I know that sounds so academic. But if you look at Proverbs 2, if you will receive my words in verse 1 and hide my commandments so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Again, that's knowledge and wisdom, the difference between an input and an output like you were talking about. Wisdom is knowing how to do something. The understanding and everything, the knowledge is one thing, but knowing how to do it, see. You can know that an airplane will fly, but that doesn't mean you can fly it. You may understand the four forces that operate on an airplane that cause it to lift off the ground. I mean, have you ever thought about a big old 747 weighing hundreds of thousands of pounds, not even counting the fuel, and then you put all those people on it, and it takes off down a runway and somehow it goes up in the air? Have you ever seen one of those C-5s from Dover Air Force Base coming around here? You look at that thing and it don't hardly look like it's barely moving. But that thing is so big, you can put tractor trailers right up inside of it. You know why? Because somebody understood the dynamics of flying, but then somebody had to teach a guy how to build it, and somebody had to teach a guy how to fly it. Brother Copeland said that a 747 would have flown in the Garden of Eden, but nobody knew how to build one. And then nobody knew how to fly one either. But see, God gives us this wisdom for daily living. And when we study the Word of God and we open our hearts to the Word of God, you go on a little further in Proverbs 2. It said, if you'll hide wisdom in your heart, seek her as silver. Verse 4, you'll understand the fear of the Lord. You'll find the knowledge of God. The Lord will give you wisdom. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. Somebody say, that's me. then you'll, verse 9 says, then you'll understand righteousness and judgment and fairness, equity, every good path. And one translation says, you'll understand every good path to walk in. So it's not enough just to know God's word if we're not willing to do it. And to me, that's one of the most important things. In your notes, we've given you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different scriptural acts, the 8, counting Hosea 4, 6. And I'm not going to take the time to go through all of those. I just gave you those in the notes so you could read those. But the key in Ephesians 1, 15 through 20, and also 3, 15 through 20, is to pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Because when Paul prayed that prayer for the church, he wasn't just praying for the church at Ephesus. We can pray this prayer for the church at Abundant Life. We can pray for this prayer for the church in Salisbury. We can pray this prayer for the church in Delmarva, that every Christian would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why? That you can understand what He's calling you to do. You can understand the greatness of His power, it goes on to say, that's working in us because we're believers. And He likens that same power to the power that raised Christ from the dead. So when we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, so when you're reading the Bible or you're coming to church on Wednesday night or Sunday morning or you're watching your favorite TV preacher or you're listening to a CD of Pastor Jonathan, Pastor Lynette, Jerrysville, Kenneth Copeland, whoever you might be listening to, Bill Winston, ask God to give you wisdom and revelation. Ask Him, say, Lord, and then say, I receive it. Say, don't just ask, but say, I receive. I receive wisdom. Let's practice. I receive wisdom. I receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So instead of going around saying, well, you know, I just can't figure out God. There are people say, you just can't figure out God. Well, sure you can. You'll never know what He's going to do. Well, sure you can. I mean, those of us that have children, we want our children to understand us. So God wants us to understand Him. And He speaks so plainly. So when you're reading the Word and you're praying and you're seeking God, believe that you receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Chapter 3 says the very same thing. I've said it many times. When you have a revelation of the love of God, when you really know that God loves you just like you are, you don't have to do anything to get Him to love you. See, religion is trying to get God to accept me. Well, see, if religion could save you, then Jesus didn't need to go to the cross. But He went to the cross to prove to us that God really does love us. And that love revelation will lead you to a place where you can really believe that He'll do exceedingly abundantly. Because if you see chapter 3, verse 20 says, and now unto Him who's able to do, see, able to do, exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, think, dream, or imagine. But it's because He loves us, He's willing to do it. I learned a long time ago, and you've heard me say it many times, that the night I was filled with the Holy Spirit, Bert Hare preached, if you need something from God, you have to understand three vital facts. And this happened to me when I was 22 years old, when I'm just a little older than that now. But I still had this revelation. You have to believe God is able. Amen. How many believe God is able to do what needs to be done? Amen. Most Christian people would say yes and amen. Yes and amen. God is able. Yes. Hallelujah. But is He willing?
Yeah.
Well, you never know. You know, you never know. God works in mysterious ways. See, there's where doubt comes in. That's where doubt comes in. And there's a few songs out there right now. They're like, I'm like my dad. They get my goat. And I heard a couple of them this week. And one of them is, what if your blessings come through raindrops?
What if your healing comes through pain?
What if your healing comes through pain? What if it takes a thousand sleepless nights to know you're there? To know you're real. I don't need a thousand sleepless nights to know God is real.
That's imperfect knowledge.
That's imperfect knowledge. And His blessings don't come through raindrops. Raindrops keep falling on my head. But so those first few verses there, let those help you to seek information. But not information for information's sake. Scriptures that apply to your case. If it's healing, look for healing scriptures. If it's prosperity, look for provisional scriptures like the Lord will provide. I was young, now I'm old. But I'm not saying that. David said it. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Get you a good concordance. If you don't have a Bible that has a concordance, get a Bible that has a concordance. And the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, I love it because it chain references everything. And you can go through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation and write down every scripture that deals with the subject you're dealing with. Write them down, print them out, whatever you have to do. And then when you're dealing with it, deal with it from the perspective of the Word. Amen.
Hindrances are roadblocks in our pathway. A lot of us have times when there seems to be something hindering what we're praying about, what we're believing God for, and that's why we're teaching this lesson. And tonight we're talking so far on knowledge. So it can either be the lack of knowledge is your hindrance, but the key to unlocking that is knowledge and wisdom. Again, knowledge is the facts. Wisdom is the understanding. And the Bible says, in all thy getting,
get understanding.
Get understanding. You know, we can have head knowledge of things, but that head knowledge has got to get way down in here. And so that you know that you know that you know that God wants you to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. He wants you to be above only and not beneath. He wants you to succeed in everything you do. He wants to put you over. He doesn't want hindrances to keep you from receiving His plan for your life. And so it's available to us, but are we going to make ourselves available to what He has to offer for us? So again, I'd like to say, be careful what you're hearing. Because even songs like that, get in your spirit. There's another one that just goes against everything that the Word of God says. And every time it comes on, I change the channel. Why? It's got a beautiful tune, and it's so catchy that then the next thing you know, you hear yourself singing something contrary to what the Word of God says. It's the same thing sitting under ministries that are teaching you, like you heard Jonathan say Sunday about mom and dad visiting a church, and the doctor, and he was a doctor, stood up and told them, he said, people will tell you that you can be healed today by the power of God. He says, it's just not so. And so mom and dad got up and out the door they went, and they never came back.
That's right.
Why? Because she was standing believing God for a miracle.
Right.
You can't sit under somebody telling you that God doesn't perform miracles anymore and when you're believing for one. So again, I would say, Father, take the blinders off of my cousin's eyes. Send a carrier of the word, of the word, not our opinion, not what we see in her, not what we know about her physical condition, but what the word says. And say, devil, take your hands off of her, and we speak healing and wholeness to her. So those are things we have to do. If not, you're going to be hindered in that area for the rest of your life. Whatever it is that you're not receiving, find out where it is. The word says the entrance of His word brings light. So it's like walking in here in the dark and flipping the switch. And when the light comes on, you can see everything. But if you don't know what this word has to say about your situation, you're in the dark. And it's not His will for you to be in the dark. He put everything you and I would ever need to know in here. I love what Pastor says. It's not all God knows, but it's all that you and I need to know to live a victorious Christian life. If the Word of God was much bigger than what it is, a lot of folks would never pick it up. But, you know, I love that scripture that says, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we'll be filled. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He wants to spread the table for us. It's all been provided. It's just ours for the taking. And see, that's why we want people to be here to hear the Word of God. We don't want you sick. We don't want you with your needs unmet. We don't want you living with a tormented mind. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Wholeness. That's what shalom or peace means, wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. If you don't know that, if you don't have sufficient knowledge in that, you do without. I think it's a shame. It's like when my kids were little, there was nothing that we wouldn't do for them if we had the ability to do it. Our heart was always to give them everything. But, you know, our ability wasn't always where our heart was. But God has the heart and the ability, and He says it's already been provided. All we have to do is come and take it. Boy, we live way beneath our privilege, don't we? When we finally get a hold of the fact that He loves us with an everlasting love, that we are His children, and there is absolutely nothing that He won't do for us, then we'll start walking in a whole new level of victory. And that's what we want here. We want you walking in victory. We want every need met. And when something comes along, you will have the knowledge to know what to do. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says, and if you don't know this, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. He says, rebuke the devourer. Mm-hmm. And tell him to flee. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know that, then you just, it's like opening the door and letting him in. Mm-hmm. And let him run roughshod all over you. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. You say no. Mm-hmm. And I love, my mother used to say, and Gloria Copeland says the same thing, I'll not have it that way. And you have to speak to your circumstance. Right. Again, you have to have knowledge, or you don't know what to say.
Right.
But, and let me say this, you've heard me say this many times, if you don't know what to say, keep your mouth shut. Seriously.
Yeah.
If you don't have the knowledge of how to battle what you're going through, mm-hmm. don't say anything at all.
That's right.
Until you find it. Amen. There's nothing hidden about this book.
No.
All you have to do is look. Today, I didn't even have to search. I just opened my iPad and go to Google and type in a word. Mm-hmm. And it would have the word, and I'd hit definition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was already available for me.
Right.
All I had to do was type the word in, and I got what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there. It's available. It's ready to be accessed.
Mm-hmm.
But will you access it?
Right.
And I know you will. That's
yes.
why you're here.
Yes.
And that's the only reason we want you here, is so that you will be filled
yeah.
with the knowledge of Him
yeah.
and know that you know that you know that yeah. He's good. He's good all the time. All that the Lord does is good.
Right.
All that the devil does is
bad.
The devil has nothing of his own.
It's a thief.
That's why, exactly, our scripture, The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Mm-hmm. But then it says, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly mm-hmm. to the full mm-hmm. till it overflows.
That's right. And this leads us right into the next scripture that I want to give you. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. This little booklet right here, Welcome to the Family by Kenneth Copeland. This is a guide to salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, and healing. We have several of these up here. We buy them 10, 20 at a time. If you know somebody that you're trying to witness to become a Christian, you just take this and say, would you mind reading this? You know, if you have someone that you know has been inquiring about whether or not being filled with the Spirit is for today, by the way it is, then give them this book. If you have somebody who's dealing with a physical problem, give them this little booklet. It's real clear in here. It's not hard. It says, how to pray for healing. He says, healing belongs to you. See, I started to say it a while ago. Bert Harris said you have to believe that God can.
Amen.
But secondly, you have to believe that He will.
Amen.
And then the third point, and this was the key, you must come boldly to the throne of grace and receive it by faith. You know, if you work a job, when Friday rolls around, there's a paycheck waiting for you. But guess what? If you don't go to the paymaster, of course, I don't know how it's done nowadays. You used to have to go to the paymaster and, you know, turn your time sheet in and all that and get paid. Now you got electronic deposit and all that. But my point is that we expect, you know, to get paid for. But it's the same thing with the things of God. They're available to us, but we have to go by faith and appropriate them. So you want one of these for that person? Amen. And we have several of these if you'd like one. And we'll give them to you after the service. Colossians 1:9 deals with what Lynette's talking about. Again, Paul is praying for this church that he founded in Colossae. And he says, verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of your faith, we haven't stopped praying for you. And here's what he prayed, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. See, the key to removing lack of knowledge is to be filled with the knowledge of His will. And how do we do that? By reading, studying, praying in the Spirit, going to church, fellowshipping with other believers. All the things that God has given us, iron sharpening iron, you know. Nobody knows everything. I love what we're doing tonight because she's feeding off what I'm saying and I'm feeding off what she's saying and you're getting it. And that's good. And that you would be filled with the knowledge of His will. Now watch this. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That you can walk worthy of the Lord. Now that script, that verse, worthy of the Lord, means that you walk in a way that represents Him the best way. When you have an ambassador come here, for instance, Benjamin Netanyahu came today to the United States and he and the president had a conference, a press conference. Well, he's coming as an ambassador for the nation of Israel, Prime Minister of Israel. Now, suppose he had walked in to that press conference in a pair of Bermuda shorts and flip-flops and an old slouch hat off the side like this, and he just strolled in there like that, you know, say, what's up, what's happening? Everybody say, well, who in the world are you, and what'd you do with Benjamin Netanyahu? No, he's not going to do that. He's going to walk worthy of his title. And I know we're all laid back on the Eastern Shore and everything, and it took me a long time to even be able to teach on a Wednesday night without a coat and tie. Because in my mind, I was brought up that when you preach in a coat and tie. And you teach in a coat and tie. And I always did it all the time. And so then somebody just said, well, why don't you just be a little more casual on Wednesday nights? It took a mental adjustment for me where I realized that it's not the outward thing that's important. It's the way you carry yourself. And you carry yourself as a child of the King. You're not a beggar.
Amen.
You're a child of the King. That's why begging doesn't move God. That's why crying, thank you for your enthusiasm, crying, believe it or not, does not move God. Praying real loud and real long and real hard doesn't move God. Faith moves God. You look at the prophets of Baal, they cried, they screamed, they hollered, they cut themselves trying to get Baal to answer. And finally Elijah got tickled. He said, boys, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a nap. And when they wore themselves out trying to get their God to answer them by what they were doing, Elijah just prayed a simple prayer, but his prayer was based on the fact that Elijah wanted everyone to know who the true God was. Amen. Elijah wasn't concerned about his reputation. See, when you're blessed, when you're healed, when you're prospering, you're making God look good.
Yes, amen, amen.
Sheep are a direct reflection of the type of shepherd they're under. Now that applies to the church, but it also applies to your knowledge of the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. So Paul says the reason he prays this is that you would walk worthy of the Lord, being fruitful. Now isn't it interesting that the very first words that Adam heard after he was created was be fruitful. The very first thing that man heard when he was created in the image of God, the first words that God said to him, well, he didn't say, oh, aren't you pretty? No, he didn't say that. He said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and fill the earth. Yeah. And the inference there is with me. Because you see, come here for a minute, Danny. When God created Adam, he created him out of the dust of the ground. He created his body. He formed his body out of the dust of the ground. But literally what he did was he stood face to face with Adam and literally breathed his life into Adam. And Adam became a walking, talking spirit man. See? No other creature on the earth is created in the image of God except man. Male and female. When I say man, you understand? So he literally breathed the life of God into him. When Adam came alive, thank you, Adam. When he came alive, the first thing he heard God say was be fruitful. God hasn't changed his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I was reading Len Mink's testimony today. Did you read it? Len Mink, who sings for Brother Copeland, if you've ever been to any of their meetings, Gospel Duck and leads the worship and everything, he was talking about how, help me to remember that, Lord, exactly the way he told it in that story. He was wanting to be a singer his whole life, you know, and be on TV. And he had TV shows and he had television programs before he came to Christ. And his wife was a model and they were successful in the world's eyes. But after all that quote-unquote success, being on Johnny Carson on The Tonight Show and getting a standing ovation after singing, he was so depressed and so discouraged. He went home and took a double-barrel shotgun and stuck it up under his chin and was about ready to pull the trigger. And he said, God, help me. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, the room filled up with light. And he said, I was aware of the presence of God for the first time in my adult life. And from there on out, you know, he and his wife both came to Christ, and you know the rest of the story. I'm trying to remember now why I even brought that up, other than the fact that God wants you to be, he wants you to multiply, he wants you to be fruitful. He wants to, what it was. He wants to literally use you and I to fill this world with him. Because that was God's original intention. Thank you, Lord. That was God's original intention before sin entered the human race, is that Adam and Eve would fill the earth first and then the rest of the universe with himself. And you know, scientists have found out, and people that have studied it, Stephen Hawking and different ones like that, the theoretical physicists like Sheldon Cooper, they've studied this. And they all understand that at some point in the distant past, there was a huge explosion of light. They call it the Big Bang Theory. And I used to make a joke about that. I said, that's right. God said it. Bang. There it was. But literally, if you read Genesis, he literally said, light be. Well, God is light. So therefore, he was saying, me be. Fill this darkness with me. And so when the light of God's word comes into our heart, we're walking worthy. And so I was looking at that, being filled with the knowledge of his will in wisdom and understanding. Literally what that means is a putting together, a quickness to apprehend the truth, the ability to what they do in college to teach people how to think critically. They call it critical thinking, Marlena, right? And that's to be able to see a situation, assess that situation, and know what to do in that situation. I was sharing this with someone in the church a couple of Sundays ago. I don't know how the subject came up about CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. And I told the lady, I said, I've done it three times. They said, three times? I said, yeah, I've had to do it three times. Once I had to do it on my own son. Dwayne was about 3 years old, and I was on midnight to eight shifts, so I was home asleep. And he was in the backyard playing in a little pool that we had. And the phone rang, and she went to answer the phone for a minute or so. When she came back out, he was floating face down in the water. And so she scooped him up and ran into the house screaming my name. And I heard her scream my name, and I knew immediately in my spirit it was Dwayne. Something was wrong with him. And when I came down the hall in my PJs, there's Lynette holding Dwayne's little limp body. He's already blue. Well, I didn't have to get a book out. I didn't. You know why? Because I had training. I immediately knew what to do. That's what this is talking about. Being filled with the wisdom, but knowing how to assess a situation and how to address that situation. And it really got into the Greek, and I love Greek words. And the only accurate way to do something is to accurately understand it. Exactly what you're saying. The pronesis is the doing, and the sunesis is the discerning. The doing comes from the discerning. So when I study the Word and we get the Word of God in us, it tells us to do certain things. Wisdom says do those things. And that's why we have in here the second part of this is not being just a hearer of the Word. You know, a lot of people have gone to church for many, many years and have shaken their head and said, amen, Pastor, you preach it. And then you ask them an hour later, what did Pastor preach about? I don't know, but we had a great time. Man, I'm telling you, what did you get? I don't know, I was blessed. But what did you get? Well, I forgot what he talked about. That's why we have CDs. Right. That's why we have handouts. Yeah. That's why we say certain things over and over and over again. Because the first time you studied the multiplication table, you didn't get it.
That's because out of the abundance of the heart, right, the mouth speaks.
Right.
So if it's not in there,
can't come out.
It can't come out when you need it. And folks, you get nothing. God spoke everything into existence. You're going to have to speak what you need into existence. So that's, again, why you have to have that knowledge. So that's why when God breathed that life into Adam, everything that God had, he breathed into Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It was accessible to Adam. He designed him to live forever. But because of sin, his life was shortened. Mm-hmm. Now he lived to be 900 and something,
mm-hmm,
but he was designed to live forever.
Right.
So again, because of lack of knowledge, we do without a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the abundance of the heart, so when you put good knowledge in an abundance, mm-hmm, then when you need it, like he did, mm-hmm, he accessed it, and it became second nature.
Let me just say this. I immediately did what I knew to do.
Exactly.
See? Now, while I was doing what I knew to do, she was praying.
Right. Which
we were
what I need. What I needed.
She was praying and believing with me,
yeah,
and the two of us were working together. I look back on it now,
yeah,
as a team.
Yeah.
I was doing what I knew how to do in the natural, and she was doing what she knew how to do in the,
right,
spiritual. And after, I'm sure it wasn't as long as it felt like,
yeah,
he came back,
right,
and started screaming and hollering. And, you know, we didn't call 911. I couldn't find 11 on the phone. So I just put him in the car, and we took off for the hospital. And he was crying and crying and crying, and she was a wreck, and I was a wreck, and you know, because it's your baby. And so they did that blood gas thing, and he screamed and hollered to high heaven. You know what I'm talking about. And then finally,
I just wanted to hear him say
finally
that.
We heard him say, I want my mommy. And I knew he was okay when he said that. And I had to do it two other times in real life. And you, but you don't think about it because it's in you.
And what's interesting about that is he was only...
About three.
And at the time... Now, Dwayne has been in ministry his entire life, as Jana has as well. So, because Dad only gave me 3 weeks to have Dwayne. And so we stopped traveling 2 weeks before he was born, and a week after he was born, we were back on the bus hitting the road again.
Eight days old.
So he has never known anything other, and he loved it. And that day in the hospital, that some of you may remember Dr. Morgan, who was a pediatrician here, he was the one that took care of Dwayne and said he checked out, everything was fine, his mind was fine. That's what I was concerned about. And they kept him overnight. And we were to leave the next morning to get on the bus. And so I stayed all night. And I think I probably had fallen off a little bit to sleep. And they had him in a crib. Mm. You know, they have them in the pediatric area. And the next thing we heard was, God's not dead.
He's still alive.
And Dwayne's singing. And the nurses start coming. Now, this is 3 o'clock in the morning. Everything's totally quiet in the peds ward at 3 in the morning, isn't it, Kathy? And Dwayne's standing up at the crib singing, God's not dead, he's still alive. And the tears just begin to roll. Jonathan comes walking in, and the nurses have never forgot it. Because
we saw it.
It out of the abundance of Dwayne's little heart, the mouth began to speak. See why it's important to get the word of God deep down inside? He could have sung who knows what, but he didn't know anything else. And at the time, God's Not Dead, He's Still Alive was a popular song. I think we probably sang it, and he knew every word. And so that was what he chose to sing. I'll tell you, that's something to mom's heart.
Music
had to be amazing to God's heart, too, that he was giving thanks, thanking God that he was still alive and working on his behalf.
See, this is so interesting because when I study these things and we study these things, you know, we rely on the Holy Spirit to give us these scriptures that are going to be a window. See, the Sister Davis used to give her testimony, and she said when she realized where she was missing it, when she received her healing, she said Psalms 119, 130 came to mind. The entrance of God's word brings light. And now the King James says it gives understanding to the simple. Don't be offended by that word. It just means the person that is humble, the person who's willing to listen. You know, you really can't help somebody that already knows everything. And it's so important to have a listening ear. I didn't make copies of that I shared you tonight, but I'll make copies of that and have it for Sunday, about always having a listening ear. The Apostle Paul was a studious man. He had all kinds of, we would say, degrees, as folks have today. He had studied in the best schools. He was a strict Pharisee. Studied under the master of the Jewish law, Gamaliel. And yet he said, those things which were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Well, why was that? Because on the Damascus Road, when he met Jesus face to face, and I put it here in your notes, the key to Paul's life's mission was in his question, Lord, what would you have me to do? See, that's when things turned around for him. And so we're going to have to leave it there, but we didn't get into point number two, which we will get into in this. And there's so many areas you could go to. I've got 9 or 10, but it may explode more than that. But I want, Lynette and I want everyone in this church to walk in the fullness of the blessing.
Yes,
amen. We want you totally well spiritually, totally well physically, totally well financially, totally well in your family. We are tired of the devil stealing from you. And from us and from the community, it's time that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ wake up to who we are And, you know, this is the way it happens. But nothing happens until we're willing to go and do. See, that's key number two. Things happen for people who went and did. And I started looking up all the phrases of went and did. and I found a whole bunch of them that are similar to that. And they're in your notes in page number two. Because it talks about don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Because the doers are the one that are blessed in their lifestyle. So to walk in the fullness of the blessing, to remove these hindrances, the second thing we must do is learn to went and did. To do the word, whatever the word says. Now, sometimes the word will tell us to do something that may not be comfortable to our flesh, like I talked about Sunday. Naaman didn't want to go down and dip in the muddy Jordan River, but he wanted to be healed. And the Spirit of the Lord told the prophet, said, tell him to go wash in the dirty river. Well, his flesh didn't want to do it. I mean, his fleshly nature. But the key to him receiving the healing from his leprosy was to went and did. He had to go and do. And that's what we have to do.
I actually looked up do or doer.
Yeah.
And it said in the Greek, the word doer or doing is ongoing, interrupted.
Uninterrupted
action that becomes a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then in the dictionary, a doer is a person who acts rather than merely is talking or thinking.
Yeah. Right.
Ooh. Yeah. Got to be more than a talker, you know.
And whatsoever he does will prosper, not what he intends to do.
Right.
Psalms 1. And I listed, and you might want to go ahead and look at these ahead of time. This is probably where we'll head next to on Wednesday night. These are just some illustrations of people who received a blessing, and that's what we're talking about, walking in the fullness of the blessing and the hindrances to that. See, it'd be great if there were no hindrances. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if there were no hindrances? But there's a very real devil out there. And he doesn't want you or me to prosper. God does. So the war has been engaged. Now the good news is that we've already won the war. But we're the enforcement agency and we have to learn to enforce it in our own life. So I talked to you about Ruth. The story of Ruth. Read that. I mean, it's only just a few chapters. And it's a story of a woman who turned tragedy into triumph because of the way she treated her mother-in-law, Naomi. She found grace in the eyes of Boaz, who was a wealthy man, who redeemed her for himself. He had the right of the kinsman redeemer. He was a type of Jesus Christ. God brought her from a far country of Moab, where God was not even heard of in Moab. If you don't know anything about Moab, the history of Moab, you trace it all the way back to Lot's daughters. And that's not a good place to be. But when they came back to the place where Boaz was, Ruth was so good to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Boaz saw it. He not only provided for her, he protected her from the men in the field. Eventually, she went and laid at his feet because Naomi told her to. And you have to understand that was a custom in those days to go lay at the feet of a kinsman redeemer to say to him, you have to redeem me because my husband is dead. Are you following that? Amen. And so there was another person that was closer than Boaz was, so he gave him the first opportunity. And he said, I can't. I have a family. I can't do it. Boaz married her. They had a baby whose name was Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of David. And Ruth is in the line of the ancestry of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew chapter 1. All because she did what the Holy Spirit was telling her to do, and she even did what her mother-in-law told her to do. And your mother helped me in a lot of ways. She taught me as much as Copeland did. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise God.